And I'm sure if you hear me clearly, I feel my throat all hoarse from singing and worshipping. It's good to worship the King of Glory. As a people, we need to learn how to worship. One of the great things about worship is when everybody is focused and pressing in worshiping, there comes to these moments where there's breakthrough and the presence of God just fills the place. And we do extended worship, but the places we've been at where the glory falls, we tend to find worship goes on a bit longer. So we're working at it, building up, so that we will be a people who worship God until the glory breaks out in the meetings and we see the hand of God moving in great power. Anyway, today I want to speak about not of this world. Not of this world. A couple of weeks ago when I was speaking, I was sharing with you the intercessors, the prophetic word over the UK and the condition of the church. And the call was for the church. There's no time to waste. It's time to get your house in order and to be in the right place with God, because things are coming quickly. But also the word was, look at Israel. It is my time clock. And so we see everything is taking place. And the sermon is on the website. You can go back to it. So I want to follow up, but I want to follow up in a different way today. Because I want to bring the reality of the Bible home to you. The Bible is not an ordinary book. It is a supernatural book. A normal person goes and opens it, they look at Genesis 1-2, and they think they know about creation. And creation is not there. You have to go to Job, you have to go to Psalms, you have to go to other places to find out. And so many subjects in the Bible are like that. Now, when Jesus was living, in John 8:23, he made a statement. And I want you to think about this statement today. When he spoke to the people, he says, you are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Can you imagine being in amongst the people when Jesus spoke these words? You're from beneath. I come from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. And I can see people scratching their heads. Say, what's he talking about? What's he talking about? I don't understand them. But the reality is the Bible tells us God was manifested in the flesh. God himself took on human form. And he said, you're from beneath, I'm from above. You're of this world, I am not this world. So there's more than one world. If you go to John 18:36, Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then would my servants fight. So there is another world apart from this world. And the Bible, it opens up for us insight into this other world. Insight to this world. And the Bible even goes further than Matthew 12:32. It says, whosoever speaks a word against the Son of Man, it shall be forgiven him. But whosoever speaketh against the Holy Ghost, it shall not be forgiven him, neither in this world, nor in the world to come. So the Bible is telling us, this world is temporary. You are in this world for a short period of time. The Bible describes it in different ways, like a blade of grass that grows up and then it's gone. Now, we all know what it is like when we're young, and we think we've got a whole life ahead of us. But you know, when you start to get to the other end of that spectrum, you start to say, where did life go? It's just like a fleeting breath. It's passed so quick. So these bit scriptures which I've just quoted are only a sample of what we find throughout the Bible that talks about this world and the world to come. Jesus also spoke about it in Luke and Mark. In Luke 18:30 we say, who shall not deceive manifold more in this present time and the world to come, life everlasting. So those who give up family, those who give up friends, those who sacrifice their lives for the kingdom, he said, you're going to get the great rewards in this life, but you also in the life to come, life everlasting, and the market calls it eternal life. So Jesus states he is not of this world, and therefore his kingdom is not of this world. The Bible also tells us there's forgiveness when we speak against Jesus. But if we want to blaspheme the Holy Spirit, there's no forgiveness in this world, neither in the world to come. So what's the Bible telling us? You are an eternal being. You are an eternal being. When you give your last breath, that's not the end. When you give your last breath, your spirit and your soul leave your body. So let's go back to this scripture which we've looked at. Notice the implication of Jesus' statement. You are from beneath. Well, what's beneath? We know in Genesis it said, from the dust you were created, and to the dust you're going to return. But when we go to Psalm 139, reading from verse 14, because I'm going to read a few scriptures today. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvellous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Just stop there. The Bible's telling us that you and I are wonderfully and fearfully made, that you and I are something special. You ever thought about it? I can give you a little tiny tin and you can look at it. And then you can go there and you can see for millions of miles into the galaxies. You're made such that your body can heal itself. You're made that you can think, you can speak, you can put arguments together. You're made in such a way that the Bible and the psalmist here declares, you're wonderfully made, and marvellous are the works of God. And that is everybody who comes into this world. And the Bible goes on to say, my substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. So when God came to make us, he didn't come along and then just take his hand across a piece of dirt on the top of the ground. The Bible tells us he made us in secret and he went right into the depths of the earth to get the dirt which he was going to make us with. And so Jesus is saying, you are from beneath. You're made from the dust of the earth. And the dust that you were made from was in the very depths of the earth. When God took that dirt and then formed man and then breathed into man and made him a living soul. And he said, thine eyes did see my substance, yet being imperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, They are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Nobody needs to feel inferior and unloved. Nobody needs to feel neglected. Because Jesus is saying here, all your members were written. And they said, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me. The thoughts that God has for you. He compares it to the sand of the sea. The thoughts that God has for you are so overwhelming, so abundant, they can never be counted. Because you're precious in His sight, because you are His creation. And so Jesus is saying here, you are from beneath. You're made of the dust of the earth. But I formed you and I've made you something special and something remarkable. He said, there's no other creature like you. I haven't made any other creature or creation that compares to you. All the animals, all the birds, they all have their function, but none of them compare to you. None of them can have all their thoughts and put all their thoughts in writing. None of them can do things that you can do. You're special. So you are special. And Jesus says, compares that. So you're from beneath. He said, I'm from above. I've come from heaven. And I have come with a message of salvation and a message of deliverance. And I have come to deal with a great problem. And that problem is sin. So if we are from beneath, but Jesus is from above. And that's why in Timothy tells us God became flesh. It is the most amazing thing that you can read in the scriptures. I mean, you can search every religion on earth. All the religions, man-made, idols made behind. But you will never find one where the God came into this world and took on human flesh and said, I have come to lay my life down to redeem these people and bring them back to God. So Jesus is from above. And that's why in Corinthians it says, the first man is this of earth. The first man, Adam, he's of this earth. Everything he does is centered on this earth. It said, but the second man is from heaven, who has come with revelation and come with life to give life more abundantly. And so we find when Jesus teaches in the book of John, he says, if I've told you earthly things you can't believe, what chance have you got to believe I have to speak to you about the things of my Father from heaven? But what else is beneath? You're from beneath, made from dirt away depths in the depths of the earth. But in the depths of the earth is a bottomless pit. In the depths of the earth is hell. In the depths of the earth, that's where Jesus went. Matthew tells us, for as Jonas was 3 days and 3 nights in the whale's belly, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days and 3 nights in the heart of the earth. Jesus went into the very heart of the earth where he took the dust to make us. And he went there 3 days, 3 nights, took our sin, bore our iniquities. And the book of Ephesians tells us, now that Jesus has ascended, what is it but he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? We are from beneath. Jesus has went beneath to deal with the problems that we don't need to deal with. To deal with things that face everybody unless we know Jesus as our Savior. Because death and hell are all to do with beneath. And so the Bible tells us people are lost, but Jesus knows where he came from. We die in our sins, but Jesus is sinless. We are headed for a lost eternity, but Jesus is from heaven, who has come to give us eternal life. So when you have an encounter with Jesus, and your spirit is made alive, and you, Look what Jesus says about you in John 17:16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. What a great thing. Jesus says, I am from above. And then when we come to that place where we have encounters with Jesus and we become disciples of Jesus, what does he say? They are not from beneath. They are not of this world. They are like me. They are like me, but not of this world. A transformation has taken place so that we are never the same again. You know, in this transformation, you're going to find it in 1 John 3:12, verse 2. Behold, now are we the sons of God, and it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. What a great verse of scripture. Behold, now are we the sons of God. We are special sons of God. Because if you want to go into the scriptures, into the book of John, you will read about the sons of God who watched when earth, the foundations of the earth were being laid. If you go to Genesis, you'll read about some of these sons of God getting up in the first estate. But the Bible here tells us that, beloved, now are we the sons of God. And there's something special about being called a son of God today. Because you don't get eternal life by going to eat an apple, eat some fruit from a tree. There's nothing that you have to do to get eternal life. Because the Bible says, he that hath the Son hath life. Our life comes from Jesus himself, born of the Spirit of God. So you're unique. There was nobody in this category before the church came into being. There'll be nobody like you after the church goes out. Because we know from the book of Revelation, there's the trees from here, the relations, there's a fruit for. So you are unique. You say, the Bible says here, beloved, now are you the sons of God. And what life are you going to be? But what life was Jesus' body when he appeared to the disciples? Jesus says, touch flesh and bones. See, I'm not a spirit. But he could walk through walls, he could disappear, he could be in the heavens, he could be back. And what did the Bible say? When we shall see him, when we see him, we will be like him. Because we are going to have a glorious body like the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So beloved, now are we the sons of God. So we've got to lift our perspective higher and realize Jesus has done something extraordinary to redeem us. To take us from being in this world to be focused on the world that is to come and to work for his kingdom now while we can. Because this is the only opportunity you and I will ever get to serve Jesus willingly, freely, without any other thing being put upon us. To work for Jesus, to live for Jesus. And so the Bible here says, every man that has this hope in him purifies himself, even as he is pure. So when we have this hope, and we know that Jesus lives in us, and we know that we have been born by the Spirit of God, and we know that we are unique, and that we're going into eternity, and we'll have a body like Christ, then he says, when you have this hope, you purify yourself, even as Jesus is pure, and you walk in righteousness, you walk in truth, and you walk in a different path from the path of those that are in this world. We are in the world, but we're not of the world. John writes, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Mm-hmm. Jesus has overcome.
Yes.
Because he has overcome, you and I can overcome. Because he lives, we live. So therefore, When we come to 1 John chapter 2, it says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passes away. The lust also, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. It's a great calling that we have. Love not the world, nor the things in the world, because they're enmity with God. They're against God. We look around us. We see how society is crumbling. We see when you turn away from God, all the unrighteousness and wickedness starts to come. You see the boldness of those who want to proclaim their cult and to proclaim witchcraft. That boldness, because it's of the world, it is not of Christ. Okay. But notice this. John talks about three things: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You know, they were the three things that you read about in Genesis when Eve was tempted. She was tempted by these three things: the lust of the flesh. It was good for food. Jesus was tempted by these three things in the wilderness. Why don't you turn these rocks into bread? As the Son of God, you can do it. The lust of the eyes, they were pleasant to the eyes. The fruit was pleasant. The kingdoms of this world, look, Jesus, there's all the kingdoms. I'll give it to you. Bow down and worship me. You know, Job's made a covenant. And it's a covenant that is worth everyone doing. Because Job said, I have made a covenant with my eyes. I have made a covenant with my eyes. I am going to be careful what I look at and what I don't look at. And the Bible here says, the lust of eyes, the eyes look and they wonder and they're drawn aside. Job said, I've made a covenant, I'm not going to be like that. The pride of life, desire to make one wise. Jesus was tempted. He's tempted in the same things that Eve was tempted in. The three things that John is telling us to be aware of. But in Hebrews, the Bible tells us Jesus was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Our Redeemer has overcome. He has triumphed. He has triumphed, we triumph. Because his life is in us. See, you're born of the Spirit of God. He that have the Son have life, have eternal life. And it's the Spirit of God that's in us. God gives us power to become the sons of God. God gives us power so that we can live for him. We are not doing this as a religion on our own, trying to attain. It is a relationship with Jesus and knowing the presence of God and the power of God in your life. You know, there's a story in Luke 16. And the Bible tells us, love not the world. And Jesus was speaking to his disciples, and the Pharisees overheard him. In Luke 16, 15, Jesus made the statement, that which is highly esteemed among men is abomination in the sight of God. And in the context of this story, these Pharisees were overhearing what Jesus was teaching his disciples. And they were listening to the teaching of Jesus. And the Bible said about these Pharisees, they were covetous. They were mocking Jesus. They were pulling him down. They were railing on him. They were justifying themselves. They were of the world. And we know from scriptures, the Pharisees always wanted to be seen by people. They always wanted the preeminence. And Jesus said, they're of this world. Don't be like them. Paul, the Bible says, love not the world. And so when Paul writes to the book of Romans in 12, he says, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God. And don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed by the renewing of your mind. The renewing of the mind comes through the Word of God. You learn the Word of God, you get that Word of God into your mind. You speak the Word of God. Soon as something comes which is against the Word, you start to speak the Word of God. You stand and you fight. And you have the renewing of your mind as we read the Word of God, as the Holy Spirit quickens that Word, the revelations of the Word of God. And then the Bible says, love not the world, because in Galatians it says, Jesus gave himself for our sins, that we might be delivered from this present evil world. The world was evil in the days of Paul. The world was evil in the days of Jesus. The world has been evil from its inception. And so we are not of this world. We are not above this world. In 2 Peter, it tells something about this world. This world is only temporary. Just let's read from verse 10, 2 Peter chapter 3. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burnt up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with burning heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Now this world in which we live, it's old. Nobody really knows how old the world is. The Psalms tell us that the worlds are of old. Genesis 1 opens in the beginning, but didn't they tell you how far back it was? But then you go into the recreation, which happened about 6,000 years ago. But the Bible says the world back then was judged by water. But water covered the whole earth because judgment came after the rebellion of Satan. They said, but the next time, this earth is going up in smoke. This earth is going to get renovated with fire. There's big changes coming to this earth. And what does Peter say? Beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent. These things are going to take place. Just as it happened before, this world has got a limited time span and it's going to be renovated. Not by water this time, but it's going to be renovated with fire. And there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth where there will be no works of darkness, there will be no powers of darkness, no demonic spirits, no dark entities, because all of them are going into our eternity and cast into the lake of fire. But we, those of us who are the sons of God, born by the Spirit of God, are going to have bodies like the Lord Jesus Christ, and we will have eternal life.
Amen.
We don't love the world. 2 Timothy in chapter 3. Second 2 Timothy chapter 3. Again, it's quite a few verses. This know also, that in the last days, perilous times shall come. When we talk about the last days, we tend to go to Matthew chapter 25 and thereabouts in another gospel similar. And lots of things that you will find in there have taken place over history. But if you pay particular attention today, you'll find that everything is now converging and coming together. They're all coming together. The time of converging. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. You just need to look around you. Covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into house and lead captive silly women laden with sin, led away with divers lust, ever learning and never able to come to a knowledge of the truth. Now as Janus and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt mind, reprobate concerning the faith. These are the days in which we live in. We see it all around us. The Bible gives us all the sins and all the things that people are into. And everything that you're reading there is of this world. That is this world. That is what you have. And all you have is this world. It gives you the examples of the two magicians from Egypt who tried to withstand Moses. They said they were fools. Just like people who go into these lifestyles and blaspheme and shout down and pull down the name of God. You know, when you go through the book of Job, there's a very interesting part of the book of Job. Because in the book of Job, they're talking about what life was like before the flood. And they make a statement to this. Stuff like, why is it? Who is it? What is it that we should worship him? So they make a mistake about the attitude of the people before the flood. What is it that we should worship him? Who is it that we should worship him? And it's a very derogatory dismissal. You know, it's like people today, they dismiss who is Jesus Christ. They want to come with all the theories, they want to pull down Jesus. They want to have all the religions. And we live in these days. And these are the days in which we live in at the present time. And the Bible says, love not the world. And in verse 9 it says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. It is folly to run after the things of this world. Because God has come in the flesh to say, I'm going to give you eternal life. And I'm going to take you, and we are going to have a new creation, and a new world, a new heaven, a new earth, where there will be no wickedness. There will be no sorrow, where the works of darkness will no longer exist. You see, in 2 Timothy 8, it talks about Janus and Jambres, who withstood Moses, and they said about all these other people, so did these also resist the truth. They resist the truth. And John tells us the Spirit of truth has come. And the Spirit of truth convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come. But people harden their hearts and turn, then they run after this world. Not only that, in John 17:9, Jesus says, don't pray for the world. Don't pray for the world. Jesus said, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. But for them you have given me, for they are thine. Jesus prays for those who are his. He doesn't pray for this world. And there's good reason why he doesn't pray for this world. Because this world lies in the lap of the God of this world. And the God of this world is the enemy of Jesus. And the God of this world is your enemy. And if you want to know how bad it is, think of the story of the Gadarenes. And you have this man, and he's up in the tombs, and he's cutting himself, and he's in chains, and he's breaking the chains. He's always in torment until Jesus comes and brings deliverance. But listen to the demons. Don't cast us in. Don't cast us aside before our time. Have mercy on us. But what mercy did they have in the man? Demons have no mercy in anybody. The demonic realm has no mercy in anybody. Satan has no mercy in any of you. He hates every one of your guts. Why? Because you're redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. And hates Jesus, he hates his creation. So Jesus said, I don't pray for the world, I pray for those of you, Lord, you've given me. And the devil said unto him, all this power I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto thee, and to whomsoever I will give it. And 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, with whom the God of this world have blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. See, this world is in the lap of the wicked one. The God of this world is a God who encourages all we've read about in Timothy, all the blasphemy, all the wickedness, the thieving, the murder. It is not of God. And so the Bible comes and the Lord says, you're different. The calling on your life is greater. The calling on your life cannot be compared to anything in this world. It goes even further, the scripture says, what does it gain if you get all the riches of this world and lose your soul? So the calling that you and I have is greater than anything this world can offer and provide for you. And so there is this place where we've got to come back to reality and say, there is another world. And it doesn't matter if we're young or old, where we are in the age range, in eternity and in time, we're not far from entering into that realm where we'll discover there's going to be another world. And Jesus said, that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit, but that which is of flesh is flesh. And we are born by the Spirit of God, and God called us to walk in truth and righteousness and to preach his word. He has come and is so that we can bring the message of hope and good news, because Jesus wants to bring people out of darkness into light so that in his kingdom there will be multitudes worshipping him. We are called for a higher purpose. We're not of this world. Jesus is not of this world. He has made us not of this world. So we need to start to say, if we are not of this world, why do we want to get entangled with it? We need to cut the strings. We need to let go of the things of this world and start to focus. What really matters? Serving Jesus. Serving Jesus is all that matters. Nothing else matters. Everything else in this life is going to be corrupt, disappear. But serving Jesus, what happens serving Jesus? The presence of heaven. The revelations of the Father. The calling of God. The anointings. See, you're called to a higher place. And we don't want to be people who sit at a level which is a way you blow the calling of God upon our lives. Jesus is not of this world. We are not of this world, but of the world to come. So let's not entangle ourselves, but let us look to Jesus who is our Savior. And let us be people who learn how to worship. Because if we can learn how to worship and come in one accord and to break through. See, the meetings, you know that we've been in India, and this is our third visit to India. But the one thing about the church in India is they keep worshipping till the glory falls.
Yeah.
And it takes effort. It takes a lot of focus to keep praising, keep worshipping. When the hour goes past, the glory hasn't fallen, we need to press in more. Press in, press in, press in. And then when the glory falls, deliverance takes place. Healings take place. We've only touched the surface. But our intention is that we press in more and more until the glory falls. Until we see the power of God moving. So let's pray. Father, we thank you today.